2 Corinthians chapter 9, you get to hear a rare occasion. I'm preaching on giving, so much the more on giving. I do not preach a whole message on giving very rarely, maybe once every 3 years, maybe. I just don't preach all that much on giving. You know, it's an amazing thing is churches talk a lot about it now. They really do. I mean, good churches talk a lot about it. All churches do. And you know, it's strange that I don't emphasize all that much, and our church is doing fine in their giving. I just focus on making you a good Christian. I think if you're a good Christian, you'll give. But it is a big part of the Bible, and I do want to emphasize it because it's part of the Bible, and God put it on my heart. I want to talk about giving today, and the whole message will be on giving. And so much the more, you know, I want to talk about giving willingly. And 2 Corinthians chapter 9, let me just give you a little context, and I'll read the passage here. The Corinthian church had a lot of problems, but one thing they were fairly good at was giving. Eventually they learned to give. And Paul is writing because he's saying, hey, I need to come and get from you. He says, I need to come and collect for you so I can go start other churches and do the ministry of God. And that is biblical. And God's people are supposed to give to God's man to do God's work, and that's very biblical, and the way they did it. But he said, I have bragged to people about how much you give, and so I'm going to give you a heads up. I'm coming to some people who think you're big givers, and I don't want you to be embarrassed because you didn't know I was coming, so I'm giving you a heads up so you can look good like I bragged on you. And so that's what he starts off in this chapter. Then he talks about the blessing of giving. And in verse 1 it says, for as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write unto you. Almost, I don't really need to, because I know you know about it. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them that in Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. By the way, that's why what we need from you is we've grown over this last year a pretty good amount. But a lot of new Christians. And it says, your zeal as a church has provoked other people. He said, wow, look what they're doing. And I want you to become a leader. If you serve God and have a zeal and excitement about God and a faithfulness to church, you'll provoke other people to do it. And if you're not faithful to church, you inspire them to not be zealous. And if you don't have a zeal for God, and by the way, even those who don't go to church, after a while, it's not your lecturing anymore that's going to get them and change your life. It's your zeal that provokes them and says, wow, they really have something I'd like to have. You got to live it with passion. If you're not passionate about it, then they don't think it must be that important. And it says, you have provoked others by your good actions. And so be excited. Amen the message. And come to church faithfully and talk about what you learned. Even if those who aren't saved, have zeal. Zeal is excitement about the things of God, and it provokes other people to do it. And we need you, who are the faithful people who've been coming for a while now, to be leaders for the next people who come in. Because somebody will watch you. And I was amazed, just, you know, people always drop out here and there, you know, and people come and people go, you know, here and there. It's just part of the nature. People fall away from the Lord and move and do things. Every single time somebody backslides or goes away from God, they don't have any idea, but somebody else follows them. They'll say, well, no, and nobody knew, nobody cared if I came, and they're shocked. How many people, where's so-and-so, where's so-and-so, where's so-and-so? And other people quit coming. They get discouraged because they didn't provoke them to good things; they provoke them to bad. Verse 3: Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf. That as I said, ye may be ready, lest happily if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before you and make up beforehand your bounty. So say, I sent some people ahead with this letter and people beforehand to go get the money ready, take offerings ahead of time so that you'd be ready. Before you to make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. He says that those who give a little, get back a little. sowing. It says, giving is like planting a seed. Sowing is planting. He says, those that plant little, get back little. You plant 10 corn seeds this year, well, you're probably not even going to get 10 corn stalks back. Usually a seed doesn't grow, or something happens, or something eats it, or something. He says, you sow a whole bunch, you'll get a bunch more. It says, he which soweth bountifully shall also reap also bountifully. And this is all in the context of giving. Every man, according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye also, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As he has said, he that he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. We're going to go ahead and pray, and we'll talk about giving willingly. Father, I pray you'd help me to preach in this subject. I pray that you'd put it on hearts and establish a truth in our hearts and our souls. And Lord, help us understand the need of this thing. Lord, I don't preach on it much, though. Lord, I pray you'd please help us to see the importance of giving. Help us to give with our hearts willingly and learn about it and learn about the blessings of giving in this month. As we study so much the more in giving, Lord, please give me the words to say and speak powerfully through me. Lord, tonight we have men's preaching night. I won't be preaching, but this is what I'll be preaching for the day. And I just pray that it'd be anointed, and you'd please speak to me powerfully and use it in a great way, Lord. And I know I need you, Lord, and I just ask for your help during this time. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, just a few things, just a few points out of this passage I want to go to. First of all, obviously, he prepared them to give. He prepared them to give. Many people want to give, but they need to be prepared to give. I think there's many things in preparation to give. I think if I said this morning, I said, we've got to raise $2,000 for the New Testament projects, it'd be harder to do that. Because a lot of you didn't bring your checkbook, a lot of you need to go find the way to get the money, or you need to sell a couple things, or you need to, you need to prepare for things. You can't just give out a bunch of money all at once. And I think that's fine, that's good. The Bible talks about preparation, all of our Proverbs, and the ant goes and prepares for winter, why there's a chance to do that. And being prepared to give and to do that. Because here's the rule, it's a pretty consistent rule. It's a rule in over 90% of people in America today. It's a rule of our government. It's a rule of everybody. Is people spend everything they have. Doesn't matter how much they make. They think if they had more, they wouldn't spend it. But when they had less, they spent it all. When they had more, they spent it all. Pretty much everybody spends all they have. That's not true. There's about four people in this room who save. But that's about it. And it's very hard to save. I know how it is. I have it every month for 3 months. At the start of the month, there's something I wanted to buy that would cost me like $125. I keep meaning to buy it, and every month a washer broke. 1 month, it just the start of the month. It was the clock tick, and boom, something broke that I had to pay several hundred dollars for. It was a car problem. It was something. And you know what? It's hard to save money sometimes. Things happen. But you know what? Most of us spend it anyway. And if you're not prepared for that, you spend it. But if you put money aside, and very few people can do that. One wise way, by the way, you could do that and not spend all your money is two ways to do that that I think you can use either way to save your money and not spend it. If you're a person like most people, and I'm not insulting you, that's most of us. Most people spend all the money we get. We don't know where we spent it. Usually we say, where in the world did it all go? Is two ways. One is you deposit your money in savings, and then you have a checking account, and every month you move your budget amount into your checking and work off your checking. And when you're out of money, you're out of money. That way, you keep on building your savings every month, maybe $200, $300 or whatever, and you do it that way because you should know how much you need every month to get by. You should have a budget. And if you live off your checking with that, you don't spend it out of your savings. If you just do it all in one account, you spend it all out of one account. You make your one last phone call to the bank or one last ATM. What is my account balance? Oh, $14. I can only take out 10. Okay. And that's what you do. But if you do it like that, you can save it. And that's one way you can save your money is doing it that way and keeping the money out of your hands. That's a good way. Secondly, is to having discipline and a budget. And controlling it and not doing it that way. And prepare and put your money aside. You can put your money where you can't get to it easily and where you can't get to it with an ATM card, where you have to go make a withdrawal and go to the bank and you can't just do it. and things like that. There's ways to save and put money aside. But preparing to give, and these people, he said, I sent somebody ahead to go with you and get your money put aside. And by the way, one of the things I've always liked doing is I always like giving to the cause of Christ at the start of the month so I don't spend the money. Many, many things throughout the years I have given to the cause of Christ. And I tithe, and I give to missions. And I do that personally. I've done it since I was probably 17. And I remember it was just $10 a month when I was a teenager. And, you know, I didn't have hardly any income. And I gave that to a missionary. And give the church every month to send to a missionary. And you know what? All that money I would have blown at Burgerville, down in Oregon, or Burger King, or somewhere Burger, or something like that. We'd have Starbucks and to blow him money at. You know that money's in heaven now. And I'm so glad I didn't blow that money. I would have blown it somewhere. I know I would have. And all the money that you give, you put it aside for God. And you do it on purpose so you don't blow your money. And be prepared to give. Make a plan for giving. You know what you can do? You can have a change jar that you can't open up all the time. And you know how you would be shocked if you put your money aside how much change you get. I hate change. Are you like me? I hate change. And everything I buy costs $19.02 and $7.03. And I always get all the big pocketful. I hate change. And put that change aside. We can't get to it. And then roll it and then take it and get cash. And give it to the cause of Christ and dedicate that money or put it in the missions jar every Sunday or something like that. But be prepared to give. That's what he talked about. And then he says, secondly, how you sow, you reap. Verse 6, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. It says if you give generously, it says you're planting seeds. I don't know about you, but I want to give back bountifully, not sparingly. God says in Luke 6:38, our memory verse, given it shall be given unto you, but not just given back. If you know what would be an amazing thing? You give to God, but God says he gives back to you more. That's an amazing thing. I would give to God if I never got anything back. I'd be worth giving. But God says, given it shall be given unto you, that's not just in heaven. It says, given it shall be given unto you, good measure, filled up good, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. That's way more than you started with. Shall men give unto your bosom freely. It's talking about here on earth. And in heaven, it talks about in Mark. You'll get 100-fold in the kingdom of heaven and treasure. He says, men, you'll give to your bosom freely. And it's amazing. Givers get given to. And there's 100 different ways it happens. People give to me stuff all the time. There's so many things I don't have to buy. People give me. And they're so willing to give to me. I'm always shocked how many people want to give to me and give me stuff I need, and Hummer, and how often people give to me, and thank God for it. You know what? And God gives to you if you give, and he does it in not Hot Wheel, and he gives it in so many ways to you, and he wants to bless you, and he wants to do that. And when people give, God blesses and gives back to them, and sometimes your boss. How many givers do I know who just got an exceptional job? And nobody has to give to them because they got such a great job. They say, how in the world did I get this job? Man, what a good job I have. God just blesses givers. And he says, if you sow sparingly, and you know what? People who aren't real givers, and let me quantify that for a sec. You say, well, I don't have much to give. They're not generous with what they can give. If you can't give much, I'm going to tell you something. It sounds very mean here. But I know poor people. There are a lot of really, I don't know the biblical term for it, cheap, tight, greedy, miserly poor people. They have a dollar to give, and they're mad at the millionaire who won't give $1,000, but they won't give a dollar, and they have $1,000. Okay, the millionaire has $1,000,000, he won't give $1,000, and those people who are not givers with what they can do, you would be surprised they can't get anybody to give anything to them. Just like greedy people who have money who won't give to anybody. You don't give back to you. People who give to people give back to them. That's what God says. That's what God says. And they find help in time of trouble. If you sow bountifully, reap bountifully. People who need blessing financially, if they've given generously, they get back generously. I don't have one penny for Bibles. You know, I bet you're going to find yourself in financial trouble. God's not going to bless your finances. You can't get $1.25 together to buy somebody a Bible. I don't say that to raise the money for Bibles. God will provide. I say that because if you think you're going to be cheap and so sparingly and think, I'm only going to plant 3 seeds this year, but I expect 3,000 plants back. Good luck. I bet you're going to get 3 or less. I'm just guessing. And if you plant sparingly, you reap sparingly. Matter of fact, God blesses people who give sacrificially and with faith. That means I don't know how I'm going to give, but I'm going to give. And that's a different message. We're not going to preach on that this morning. Next, the Lord loves it when you give cheerfully. Verse 7. Every man, according as he purposed in his heart. Now listen, why'd you handle those cards, Pastor? Because you had a purpose to do it. Financially, in our economy right now, and with our discipline we don't have, if you don't purpose to give, you don't give. I want to give. I think that's one of the reasons God gives you an exact percentage to give. If God just said, give part of your income, give a good part of it, somebody say, oh, a good part for me is 0.5%. And people would not do that. But when you say the first 10% is God's, you purpose to give. You know, everything's like that in life. You know why you're church today? Because you purpose to come here. People who aren't faithful to church do not purpose to come to church. They say, I would like to go to church a lot. When are you going to be at church? Well, I'm going to try to go there on Sunday. Okay. If you say Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, I go to church. But so-and-so wants to go somewhere with me. They want to go shopping with me. I purpose to go to church. What you don't purpose to do, you don't do in life. You go to work because you purpose to go to work. If the boss said, you know what, just come to work whenever you feel like it, how often did you go to work? You don't purpose to do it. And when you purpose to do something, you do things that are hard. You say, I'm going to find a job. And you haven't applied. Why haven't you applied? Because you didn't say when you're going to go apply. You got to say, I'm going to apply Monday through Friday from noon to 6 p.m. every day. Or whatever you're going to do. You got to purpose things in life or things don't get done. And it says you got to purpose in your heart to give. I'm going to give $25 a month to missions. I'm going to give my tithe every month. Just purpose to give. If you don't purpose to give, you don't do it. Because nothing good in life, you don't do anything. Good things don't happen on accident. You don't spend quality time with your kids on accident. You don't go and go to work on accident. You don't go and spend your money wisely on accident. You don't do good things on accident. You don't go to church on accident. You purpose to do good things. You got to make yourself do good things. And it says purpose in his heart as he purposed in his heart. So don't just say, I'm going to give some. The offering plate's coming by. Five. Oh, good. One. And you drop it. And that's not purposely giving. Purpose giving is I'm going to give this much. That's on purpose. You don't do it. As he purposed in his heart, so let him give. And then I want to really, most of the message will be on this part of verse 7. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God says, and this is very important, and you will agree with this in a second here, is God wants your attitude to be right in giving. Have you ever had somebody give something to you with the wrong attitude? It'd be a really good present if you still want it. Okay, if you're going to give me $1 million today with a bad attitude, I'll take it. But I'll take $999,999 of the good attitude. Okay, I'd take less than that. But I would go with a good attitude. You know, somebody comes and says, fine, I had to buy a Christmas present this year because I drew your name. Here it is. Take it. Can I hit you with it? Here, catch. The bad attitude. There's people who come and ask in a certain attitude. And you know what's a big difference how somebody asks? Can I tell you, we help people who don't ask very nicely also, but I'm much more willing to help people who ask nicely. People who demand and think they're owed something. You're not owed anything by anybody. Can I tell you that in life? I don't owe you anything. Church doesn't owe you anything. God doesn't owe you anything. Nobody owes you anything in life. Enjoy everything somebody does for you. It's a blessing. I marvel now. People think their boss owes them something.
I can't believe it. We didn't get an extra 15-minute break today. And you know what? That truck is the most uncomfortable truck I have to ride around in. I deserve...
He owes you a paycheck when you work, whatever you agreed upon. Everyone wants and everybody demands everything in life. And givers now, even when we give sometimes, you come to somebody and say, you know, I really need your help right now. And you go to some friend and they're like, why should I help you? Well, I guess so, but that's not how God wants you to give. That's not how God wants, I'm fine, God, if I have to give my tithe, but you know how little money I have? God loves a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver. He says, I want you to go and say, I'm happy to give. You know what? I get to buy a Bible for somebody. I get to give and I'm going to help pay somebody's rent. I get to give. I'm going to help the church to rent this building. I'm going to help that bus out there to run to pick kids up. I'm excited about giving. Man, that is fun. I get to send money to a missionary. I get to give to the cause of Christ and people are going to go to heaven. And I'm giving this to you, Lord. And I get to give. It's exciting. I sure wish I had more to give. That's a cheerful giver. I know somebody's getting the heart of God for giving when they wish they had more to give, and they've given as much as they should. Sometimes you can't give more. I'm not talking about people who don't give. People who give and they can't give more, and they really shouldn't give any more, and they've given all that they should give, and they wish they had more, saying, God, I'm glad I get to give to your cause. Thank you for the chance. I'm sure glad that the church has offerings. I'm sure glad I get to participate in helping reach people for the cause of Christ. I'm glad I get to give to a missionary. I'm so glad that I get to buy, I got to give some money for that shuttle out there. And 14 kids came on that thing today. I'm glad I got to give to that thing. I love giving to the cause of Christ. Giving, once you get the heart of God, giving is fun. This week we helped two people with really important bills, two people from our church, and last week we did, and the week before we did, and every week right now we're helping people from our church. You know what? It's a blessing to help people. It's a blessing. Some people who called, we didn't help. But people, you always at the church, you get the priority of these things, and always do. You know, it's so fun to be able to help somebody. It's so fun, and listen, I've been on the other side where I was in trouble financially. And it sure is nice when you can go and say, you know what, I need some help. And somebody says, I'd be glad to help you. Instead of, you know how tight I am right now? You know what? Oh, you know, I can't, you again. Now, some people, we can't help because they don't deserve it. And some people are being lazy. And some people aren't being careful with their money. Things like that. I understand that. But you know what? God loves the cheerful giver. He wants your attitude to be right. Next, God can bless you and provide more if you give. Verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. I want to say something. If I live in Ethiopia today or Somali or Bangladesh or anywhere, right now, if I'm a giver, I will be provided for. Doesn't matter where I am. I give me the poorest part of America, I will be provided for. Any giver, you will be provided for if you give to God. It says God is able to give you sufficiency in all things if you're a giver. By the way, Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But Philippians 4, the whole passage is talking about people who give. See, if you just say, God, provide my needs, God is not obligated if you have not done two things, one, tithe, and two, be a giver. And if you've done those two things, you will never starve. And God will provide for you. Well, what about the economy? What if I get laid out? God is bigger than our economy. God does not need a bailout from the government. The government doesn't have the money they're bailing out people with. God paves the street with gold. And gold is $1,200 an ounce. God's got plenty of money. God is able. It says, God is able. That's what that says in verse 8. Not some human institution. And by the way, don't rely on the government to pay your bills. Don't rely on your job to pay your bills. Don't rely on anybody. You rely on God to pay your bills. He might use your company. He might use all kinds of things. But you know what? If God decides to curse this nation, your company won't be here and the government won't be here. Nothing will be here. It's God who provides your needs. Give him the glory. Give us his day, our daily bread. It says pray to God for that. I'm relying today not on Open Door Baptist Church and not on you to feed me today. I'm relying on God. If nobody comes to church next Sunday and everybody in the church gets laid off, I'll still be eating. God provides for me. God provides for me. I'm not starving, as you can see. I've still got some things to burn if it starts getting hungry time. You know what? God's provided just fine. I had Old Country Buffet yesterday. That answers any questions. And I wasn't hungry till 5 o'clock. And I'm a 3-meal-a-day guy. You know what? God provides. He is able to make always all sufficiency in all things. You know how secure you are when you've done what God wants you to with your life? And you've given like you should give? God is able to provide, it says. God can bless you and provide more if you give. Next, eternal rewards are to givers. Verse 9. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. God takes care of those. The Bible says, blessed are those who consider the poor. The Lord will help them in a time of trouble. Those who help people with needs. While right now, in my last 10 years, and it's tragic, and I wish this weren't true, but I'm talking about giving, churches have just sucked up people's everything. And they have just drawn and drawn and drawn and pushed. I went to one of the churches. People, when I started knocking on doors here, people asked me about one of the churches in the area. They said, you been to that church yet? And I said, no. They said, that church is all off their money. And I just ignored them. I didn't pay attention. Another person told me that. And another person told me that. And another person, I had 12 different people, I had a dozen people, said, I got to go to this church and see if it's really that much about money. They ask you your annual income at that church. They have at least 2 to 3 offerings every single service, and the whole sermon is about money. And I went to that church on a Wednesday night one night. And sure enough, one of the guys told me, he said, I went to that church, and the usher met me and said, how you doing? And started talking to me and greeting me. And he just started asking about my finances. And asked me how much I made a year. And I said, I could be an angel and not have any income. Leave me alone. Nobody gets treated. If somebody walks in here wearing rags and stinks and has been homeless and comes in here, we don't care about your income. Are you breathing? And is your heart beating? That's a good option too. You know what? These churches have drawn off people and pulled and pulled and pulled and pulled for money. And now those people are going back to churches saying, I got laid off. I'm in trouble. The church says, we're out of money. We bought this new building and my new Mercedes. I knocked on that preacher's door, by the way. Didn't know it. I buzzed his gate. Biggest house in the entire hillside. Drive down 167. When you're about 272nd, look over on the west side. Look for the biggest house you can see. Looks like an apartment building by itself. Big white house. About $15 million house. That was his house. And about 10 acres on the edge of the cliff. Biggest house on the hillside. And those are big houses. And there's no money for anybody because they took and took and took and took and took. And they did not take care of the poor. They emphasized the middle class and the rich and people with money in their churches. And you know what? Now they're in big trouble. Listen, the Bible says consider the poor. And God eternally rewards those who help those who have needs. The missions, the people in poor countries, the people who can't get a Bible and we have to send the missionary money so they can buy a Bible for those people. That's what givers do, and they get rewards in heaven. And God sees that and says, great is your reward in heaven. When people got the right attitude, excuse me, when people have the right attitude about giving, when they have the right attitude about giving, they're giving willingly, there's always enough. Because there's enough money around. You know how much money is in our society floating around? I remember asking, and if you've been coming long, I asked about 4 or 5 years ago, I told you we're going to come into a major, major, serious, hard recession time, maybe depression. I warned you about it ahead of time. And then I said, I'm very curious when we get desperate and when it gets real bad, if the Starbucks and the coffee shops will stay open. Because you know what? Despite what the news tells you every night, we're not that bad off. Because Starbucks is still open. And all these places are still open, and all the places that sell junk are still open. And you know what? If you're buying $4 lattes, people aren't starving to death. That's all there is to it. And you know what? People are still buying junk. You know the Nintendo has not gone out of business? And the Wii's are still selling like crazy? And Xbox keeps putting out games, and people still buy Halo 3, and people still buy all kinds of junk, and eBay hasn't gone out of business? because people still buy, there's still money out there. People just blow it. There's enough money in our culture to do amazing things. People, you know how much people spend on cars nowadays? You know how much people eat out? Pizza Hut is still delivering like crazy. There is so much money out there still. You know, people getting by on unemployment still got a pretty good amount of money, enough to pay their bills and still do stuff occasionally. And they extend it for so long, people still have money. When people like give, let me take you to a story back in 1 Chronicles. When people get the right attitude about giving, have you noticed that Open Door Baptist Church has been going forward during this hard time? We've been going forward. We've been buying the shuttle and expanding our ministry and redoing the nursery shuttle and helping a lot of people and taking care of people. You notice we've gone forward, not backward financially? You know why that is? It's because we got a very spiritual people at Open Door who give. It's because we prepared for it, as the Bible said to do, the ants should do, and we did that, and we're ready. We can pay the insurance for the new vehicle and buy the $117 fill-up we had the other day, starting at a quarter tank. And if we buy the fuel for the thing, and we can still do it. Why? We're not rich. We don't have a lot of money. We would be in a nice building if we had a lot of money. I'd be wearing a nicer suit if we had a lot of money. I wouldn't be driving cars at 200,000 miles if we had a lot of money. But the church has been blessed and provided for because people give what they can. Every church, if people would just give what they could, would be fine. It's just people blow what they have. I don't ask you today to give a ton of money. I say do what you're supposed to do. I've told many people, you need to quit giving. You need to go pay your own bills. I've told people that. And we see the same type of thing when people give like they should. I'm sorry, Exodus. In the book of Exodus, let me take you there. I was going to go to Chronicles. Exodus chapter 36. Giving. You had a tithe if you get a check from the government. You had a tithe on your food stamps. That's increase. All that increase. You got to tithe if you get money from a job. All that increase. You got to tithe on everything. And you got to give willingly. When people give willingly, there's plenty. Look at Exodus 36. It says, then wrought Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding how to work the work. They're going to build a sanctuary, the temple of God, and they're preparing to buy the things they need for it to do God's work and to have the temple right and all the vessels and take care of the priests and buy the garments and everything they need. And it says, they called these men, in verse 3, and they received of Moses and all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal. And they brought it yet unto him free offerings every morning. And all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from the work which they made. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment and caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. For the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. That's the same story we see in, it's in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 3 through 9. We weren't turned there. It says they had so much, they had to stop it. It said more than enough. And I believe that every God, good Bible-believing church in America, people would just give what they ought to do. Nobody has to sell their house. Nobody has to do anything drastic. If everybody just do what they are supposed to do, they would tithe and give a free will offering. It could be anything, $50 for a missionary a month, or every month you put an extra $100, or whatever. It's free will. It's not required of you. It's willing giving. Lord, you've just been so good to me. I'm just going to put an extra $10 in this week. I was going to blow that on coffee this week. If people just do what they should do, every church will be able to do so many things for God. And you know what? We have everything we need as a church. We don't have to have the fancy building. We don't need all that stuff. We just need to be able to pick people up and have church service and take care of people and have my family eat, and we're fine. We don't need a lot. And if we will just do what we should do, then there's more than enough. If every church would do what they should do, if the problem comes when people are saying, no, I don't want to, and not doing what they should do, not miraculous, not in the incredible amount, we don't need people to play the lottery and say, I'll give when I win the lottery. It's not what we need. We don't need that. The lottery is a waste of money. It's a tax on people who are bad at math. That's what the lottery is. There's a reason they build big fancy buildings, because they're making more money than they're losing. Makes sense? And casinos and all that stuff. We don't need that. We don't need people to go and go out and get $1 million or win the lottery or go be dishonest or go rob a bank. You just give what you can give and we'll be fine. That's all we need. That's all any church needs. And we see that with Israel. Every time that people did what they were supposed to do, that it was fine. And in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 3 through 9, it kept on saying those who gave willingly. David gave willingly. I think it was $30 million of his own money. And he gave willingly, and they gave willingly. I just want to give. I'm willing to do this. Oh, I don't know. I don't have any money extra. Let me just talk to you for a minute about this. But I don't have any extra money, Pastor. I'm on disability, or I'm unemployed, or I'm on unemployment, or I'm living on a fixed income, or this or that. This is my alley here, folks. I'm around poor people all the time. You don't have any extra money, huh? Uh-uh. Okay. So, if a builder came to me today, said, Pastor Byram, you know what? God spoke to my heart. Let's build a new subdivision, new 5,000 square foot houses. And God put it in my heart. And he wants to give everybody who will give you $100 a new house. They'll own this house. I give them one of these new houses. Would you be able to find $100 by tonight? See, a lot of people say, I don't have any money. But you know what? We have money. It's amazing how much money you can dig up when you really want something, isn't it? You know how much money is in somewhere in my car? You ever get where you're a little bit short of money and you start digging? You know what I'm talking about? You find quarters and nickels and dimes and french fries and all kinds of things. And you start digging and you'd be amazed how much. You know how much money? Every once in a while I'll go and I'll put on a pair of pants and I'll wear them for half a day and I'll put on those pants and I'll find a little bit of money in those things. You ever start digging through your pants? Oh, did I leave something in a pocket somewhere? You ever do that? You know how much money we have? You know how much junk I could sell if I really get desperate? You have as much junk? And by the way, I don't got any junk. I need everything. Move. You move and you'll find out how much junk you got. That's all you have to do. You got junk you never use. Ask your wife, men. We're pack rats. But I'm going to use this someday. You haven't used it in 6 years. But you never know. And then you finally throw it away, and she throws it away, and then you need it the next week. That's the way it works. But you know what? We have so much. You don't have anything to give, really. You don't have any money. You couldn't go with $100 by tonight if you could get a house for it. You don't have any money. You don't buy pop ever then. You don't ever buy a latte at the corner. I don't waste my money at Starbucks. I go to the cheap one in the corner. It's only $2.50 for a coffee. It's $2.50 for a coffee still. Nothing wrong with that if you have the money. Oh, so you don't have any money. You don't pay for the internet. You don't rent any videos? Well, yeah, but that's only, you know, 3 or 4 videos a week. But you don't have any money. Well, okay, I have video money. I spend, you know, maybe $10 a week on videos. It's $40 a month. You don't have any money at all? Oh, you don't smoke, right? Cigarettes aren't cheap. Cigarettes are not cheap. Oh, you don't drink at all. That's just an old bottle with water in it, right? A Budweiser? The heck of that water looks like beer. It's expensive. Shouldn't drink anyway. Oh, you don't have any money, so you don't eat out ever. Well, we go to McDonald's, you know, but what's McDonald's? $5 a person. If you eat like me, 8. You know what? You don't have money, so you don't ever get pizza. Well, I go to Safeway and buy the bacon in your oven pizzas. If you didn't have any money, you'd be buying beans and rice. And you could live on that. And when you're spoiled, chicken noodle soup. And a whole bag of 10 pounds of potatoes for $2 if you didn't have any money. You don't ever eat out, huh? Well, yeah, we eat out most every day. And never forget, somebody said, we can't pay our rent, we can't pay gas, we can't do anything. We're going to get evicted. They got eviction notice already, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Boy, we went over and he said, man, we'll bring you food. He brought him a bunch of food, you know, the kind of food he had in our food bank, and went to their house and brought him food and went and I was sitting there talking. We didn't have any money at the time, and I thought, how in the world are we going to help these people? They're going to get evicted. They got a baby. Oh, what are we going to do? And he brought all the food, and he put all the food in there, and it was canned food, and it was boxed food, and it was macaroni and cheese and top ramen and chicken noodle soup and everything. And they said, you know what? And he said, you know what? We probably won't eat that stuff anymore. He says, we don't really cook anything. We eat out pretty much every day. I said... They said, but can you help us pay our rent? I said, you know, we really don't have it right now. And we aren't going to have it later either. You spent your rent. Expensive to eat out every day. Not against eating out. Just don't say you don't have any money to give. Skip one Starbucks or skip one McDonald's day and give $10. And by the way, most of us aren't that poor where that would be the only place we can get $10. You never gamble. You never buy things you don't need. You never go to the store and just start wandering around and you know they put the things everybody buys right at the check stands and right when you walk in. They're going to Walmart. And boy, here's a lot of people shopping. They're going in to buy, they got to buy a gallon of milk. Milk's over here. Oh, what a good deal. Huh, look at that. Oh, I got to go back and get a cart. Push the cart. Oh, that's a great deal. Man, I used to pay $7 for those. It's 2 for $11. Good night. I start walking this way. That is awesome. I didn't know that movie was out yet. And they went to the Walmart to buy milk, and they leave with their credit card spending $75. And forgot the milk. That's right. And they bought junk. And then you know what happens? You look for that video 2 months later and it's between the couch somewhere and you never see it again where the creatures live in the place of doom between your couch cushions and you can't ever find it again and you blew your money. People blow money. You know the stupid things people buy? Look at a shopping cart coming out of Walmart or Target. Stupid things. Blowing their money. And now it's getting men doing it. It used to be women. Now it's the men. Any man who gets distracted in a store is a sissy. Men, you go into that store, I'm buying a pillar, you grab the pillar and you get out of that store. And you don't even talk to anybody. You just, rawr, rawr. Cashier, how you doing today? Doesn't anybody pay? Rawr. That's what a man does. None of this. That's not a man. It's a sissy. And you go and people blow money on so many stupid things. These teenagers, Mom, I need you to help me out financially. My car doesn't got any gas. You just bought $600 wheels for your car. And it doesn't get you better mileage. But the girls like it. Well, have the girls pay your rent. Wasting our money. People buy stupid things. Yes, we do have money, and yes, we could give. You know what? There's a lot of things we really do for people. The church is doing it. Our church is full of projects, of good projects, of helping people. People deserving who are struggling. Who, you know what? By the way, we don't help if they're lazy. We don't help them if they're wasteful. We got too many people to help. We got too many good people to help. We don't help people who don't do that. There are so many missionaries we want to take on. I've got 3 missionaries right now we just can't take on. I want to take them on. I mean, the one who's going to the deaf in Kenya. The deaf in Kenya, the schools are saying, come in and preach to us. We want you to come in here every week. And I want to support him so bad. We don't have the money. We just don't. There's so many needs out there. Giving. I think of that phrase, God loveth a cheerful giver. I mean, we love everybody, right? But some people say, I love that guy, man. She is the best. I just love her. She's so great. That's how God looks at you and me when we're givers. He says, I just love that person. Don't you think God gives more and blesses more than people God says, I love a cheerful giver. I love it. I just love that guy, man. Bless them. They've given till they're hurting. Bless them. God loves cheerful givers. That's what the Bible says. He takes time to say, God loves a cheerful giver. You say, Lord, I can't wait. I like giving. Thank you. I get to give to this. God says, I love that person. That's great. Can you be a great giver with your little? Do you have much and you really don't sacrifice? I think that those who have much give a lot sometimes, but they don't sacrifice like those who don't have much. Everybody should sacrifice. You're only been in this world so long, and there's no U-Hauls following the hearses. You don't take it with you. Use it for good things. God loves a cheerful giver. Are you a cheerful giver? Do you delight in giving? Can you not wait to give? I have so much more to preach. We don't have time today. But can I just ask you today, is God looking at you saying, I just love the way they give. I love how they give. I love their sacrifice. I love their attitude. Willingly giving. Lord, love of the cheerful giver. Do you give today? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, one of the best known verse in the entire world is, for God so loved the world that he gave. Lord, you're a giver. You show your giving. You do your giving.